Thank you very much. I want you to take the Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. We're going back to our Old Testament book tonight. We're in the book of Nehemiah. We've come to the last chapter. I thought there may be one sermon left. That's not true. He stopped me after verse number 3. We're going to preach on the first 3 verses of Nehemiah chapter number 13. My heart's rejoicing in what the Lord has done and what He's doing around here. I want to give the Lord all the glory and all the praise. Let's keep it where it belongs, and that's right at the feet of Jesus Christ. And someday we're going to see His blessed face. What a day that's going to be. I mean, what a wonderful thought it is. Someday we're going to see the Lord. I mean, let that sink in a little bit. That may sink in halfway through your sleep tonight. You might wake up shouting tonight, thinking about it, about seeing the face of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what it's going to be to see His blessed face for the first time? I'm telling you, think about it. Just try to think about it. Just try to think about it right now. Your mind only goes so far and stops, doesn't it? There's a reason for that, because He's God. Our mind's finite. He's infinite. Someday we're going to see Him. He's going to give us a glorified body, glorified eyes, and we're going to behold the Lamb of God in all of His beauty. Isn't that great? That's exactly right. Nothing to do what we did. It's all what He did. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He came to set us free. And we praise His holy name tonight. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 1. What a great Sunday night crowd. God bless you. Thank you for being here. The Bible says on that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people. Therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. And it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Now, I want you to mark a phrase, if you will, in verse number 1. It's my title, my topic, my theme, and my text. It's the phrase, the book of Moses. The book of Moses. We're preaching through the book of Nehemiah, and we've come to these verses tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, help us now, I beg of you. May the will of God be done. Help us defeat Satan and his evil spirits and do your will. Thank you again for what you did this morning. Meet with us again tonight. Draw us close to yourself. Forgive my sins. May there be nothing in my heart that's hindering you. May you remove it. Do the will of God this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. In the previous chapter of this glorious book, we see the people under the direction of Nehemiah had a dedication service to remember. As a matter of fact, if you remember the last time we preached in chapter 12, they had two groups of people that met on top of the wall. Half of them marched one way and the other half marched the other way. And they met at the house of God to worship and glorify the Lord who had been so good to them in this work. Now we've come to chapter 13, the final chapter in this book. And as I was studying this chapter, it seemed as if the Lord would not let me get past the first 3 verses. Now in the rest of this chapter, there are some wonderful truths for all of us to learn and apply to our lives. However, these first 3 verses are where the Lord wants us to camp out for this service. Now notice with me the phrase, the opening phrase, on that day. Now there have been some debate as to when this day actually was. Some think it was the day of the dedication, just carrying over from chapter 12, while other people believe it was a long time after that. Let me pause here and say this, that there are certain things in the Word of God that are up for debate. There are certain things that are up for debate. Good people differ on certain things. Now, we're not talking about the fundamentals. We're talking about not the fundamentals, but there's good people who differ on certain issues because the Word of God is not specifically clear when it comes to exactly how that's to be taken. Let me say this to you. Don't get bogged down in these meaningless arguments. For instance, let's rather look at these verses and get the main thoughts that the Lord is bringing out that's not up for debate. Amen. Amen. You know where people get in trouble? Is when they start being dogmatic on debatable issues. And what I'm saying to you is that where the Word of God is dogmatic, be dogmatic. Where it's not dogmatic, don't be careful, don't be dogmatic. These are one of those issues on that day. Somebody says, well, I believe it was that day. Somebody says, who cares? What does it really matter? The main point is the main point, and that is this, the book of Moses. Now you say, what are you talking about? Now there's no doubt that the book of Moses is the key center of these three verses. Now this phrase here identifies the parts of the Bible in which the Lord used Moses to pen. Hence the book of Moses. It's God's holy word. Let me say this to you. We're speaking, when we're talking about the book of Moses, we're talking about the books of the Bible that the Holy Spirit used Moses to pen down. Now that being the case, when we talk about the book of Moses, we are talking about the very word of God. Therefore, tonight, as we consider these thoughts, we are speaking about the precious, inspired, infallible, inerrant, preserved word of the living God, in which we hold a copy of it in our hands tonight. And let's look at some simple yet profound truths concerning the book of Moses. And I'm asking the Lord to help me be a simple preacher. As a matter of fact, that's what I want to be. And I'm understanding. You know, as a young preacher, you're more tempted to try to impress people. But the longer I live, I understand something, folks. It's not about preaching ability. It's about the Word of God. This is the authority. And we're going to see three things about the book of Moses tonight. And every one of us know all three of these things more than likely. But it's interesting how simple this is, yet how profound it is. If you'll listen to me tonight, you'll say, well, I knew that. That's nothing new. Yes, are you listening? If you'll take what you hear and apply it, it'll change your life. Number one, the book of Moses. First of all, we notice in verse number one, the reading of it. Look at verse number one. On that day, they read in the book of Moses, in the audience of the people. And therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come to the congregation of God forever. Now I'd like to draw your attention to the phrase, they read in the book. Now these people were interested in seeing for themselves what the Lord had said in His holy word. On top of this, they read the word of God in the audience of the people. Now get it, that means they read it personally, and then they read it to those who had gathered. You know, this goes to show that the people had gathered around the Word of God to hear it read. You know, there are a couple of ways we can apply this to our lives today. They read in the book of the law of Moses in the audience of the people. Two ways we can apply it. Number one, here we go. Are you ready? Deep tonight. Not sure if you can get it. Number one, read the Bible yourself. Read the Bible yourself. The Bible says in Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. The Bible says in Acts 17:11, these were noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. John 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. There are some religions out there who try to get you not to read the Bible. But I'm telling you, independent Baptist preacher, I am begging you to read the Bible. Because the Word of God is for you to feed on personally. A poor prisoner confined in a dungeon had no light except for a few moments when food was brought to him. But when they would turn the light on or light a candle, whatever they had back in this day, instead of using it to eat his food, he used it to read the Bible. Because he made this statement, he said, I can find my mouth in the dark, but I can't see to read in the dark. And here's a man that used the precious few moments that he had of light to put his eyes upon the precious holy word of God. Douglas MacArthur said this. He said, believe me, sir, never a night goes by Be I ever so tired, but I read the Word of God before I go to bed. I love thy Word, O God, its pages brightly shine, a beacon light along the road that leads to truth divine. I love thy Word, O God, for comfort freely given, for inner peace that keeps my soul and gives me thoughts of heaven. I love thy Word, O God, for songs of purest joy that fill this pilgrim heart of mine and lips of praise employ. I love thy Word, O God, that tells me of thy Son, of his redemption on the cross for needy sinners won. I love thy Word, O God, it ne'er shall pass away till earth's dark night of sin shall turn to God's own perfect day. I wonder, do you have a time each day of your life where you personally read the Word of God? May it be said about the folks at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that on that day, they read in the book. You ought to read it personally. This is all under the reading of it. You ought to read it personally. Number two, others need the book read to them. You notice it says on that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people. Now it's interesting that it said that they read the book of the audience of the people here. This tells us that those who had gathered were not given somebody's own personal philosophy. They were not given somebody's own thoughts or own agenda. They had the Word of God open to them and read in their hearing. Now it's interesting, when these people gathered in chapter 13 verse 1, these folks did not teach their own thoughts. They simply read the book to the people. You know, in the same way tonight, what people need today is not some pastors or some guest preachers or some Sunday school teachers or some bus captains or deacons' thoughts and ideas. What people need is a steady dose of God's precious Word. Let it be said here that our children, our youth, our adults who gather together, they have the Word of God read to them. Let it be known that this church is to be a church where the Word of God is prominent. God help us to stick to His Word. I'm talking about if it says it, we do it. If it condemns it, we don't do it. And we don't get caught up in things that's preferences instead of the Word of God. Another way we can apply this truth is with parents reading the Word of God to their children. You know, it's important for each individual to read the Bible. But it's also important for leaders to read the Bible to those who are gathered around them. This includes the family. My wife and I are trying to read some of the Word of God and a devotion book to our children. And it is a task to try to keep Jalen quiet, folks. Honestly. By the way, you ought to hear her pray. Oh, she's so precious. I'm telling you, what a precious thing. I remember one time my wife was leading her in prayer. She said, Jalen, you pray. And Becky was leading her in prayer. And, you know, Becky would pray a phrase and she'll repeat it after her. And Becky said, and help Judson and Jalen to be good. And Jalen said, help Judson to be good. She's a smart little thing, you know. We learn from this opening thought here, that where we see the reading of the book of Moses. We see that they read. There's where I get we read it personally. But we see they read in the audience of the people, those who had gathered around them. They gave them the Word of God. Well, wouldn't that be great that the folks at Buffalo Ridge, whether it be their family, their Sunday school class, their bus route, that what they give is not their own thoughts. They give the Bible. That's what it's about. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Number one, the reading of it. Number two, let's notice the revelation in it. We see this in the latter part of verse 1 and then verse number 2. On that day they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and with water, but hired Balaam against them that he should curse them, howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. That's a special note to recognize how as these dear people read the book, they were made aware of the will of God in their lives concerning the mixed multitude in their midst. This takes them back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, verses 3 and 4. Remember the reading in the book of Moses, God used Moses to pen the book of Deuteronomy. And in that, it was given by God, cast out the Ammonite, cast out the Moabite. And when they read in that book of Moses, they saw this. What I'm trying to say is the book told them that the Ammonite and Moabite were not to be in the congregation of the Lord. Then the book told them the reason they were not was due to the fact of how they did not meet Israel's needs but tried to curse them with Balaam. This is a reference back to Numbers, another book that Moses wrote under the inspiration of God's Spirit. In other words, because these people who were descendants of the incestuous union of Lot and his two daughters were not of the royal lineage and mistreated God's chosen people, because of this, they were not to be united with. They were heathenistic people and were not to be allowed in the congregation of God's chosen people. Here's what I mean when I say the revelation in it. Here's what I'm saying. As they read it, the will of God was revealed to them as they read His word. You know, in the same way, the will of God is revealed to us in the pages of His holy word. We should go to the pages of the Bible to find the revealed will of God. You know, one of the many things found in the word of God is that it is God's will that this same principle is found today. I'm talking about that God's people are to separate from the world and from unbelievers. That does not mean you hi-hat unbelievers, no. That means you walk around saying, I'm better than you, no. But you do not yoke up with them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 17. Somebody says, wait a minute, that's unloving preaching. You're telling me that I'm not to yoke up with an unbeliever? Yes, why? Because it's been revealed in the word of God. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 17, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Therefore, if your young teenage daughter says, this boy I'm about to date, he's as lost as a ball in high weeds, but God has given me peace to go ahead and date him. Hogwash. Hogwash. God will never tell you to do something different than He's told you in His holy word. His word reveals the will of God. Unsaved people are not to be accepted into the membership of the local church. Amen. The word of God teaches this in the pages of His holy word. Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them the church about 3,000 souls. That's why anybody who comes for membership, there's two criteria. They have been saved, they have been immersed. That's church membership. And I'm telling you, if you let anybody else in, that is against the revealed will of God. Notice these dear people were not added to the church until they were saved and baptized. These are the two criteria for church membership. Now, the main thought that we see here is that the will of God is revealed through the pages of Scripture. Let us be diligent in seeking it out. One reason people are not finding the will of God for their lives is because they're not reading the Bible. Amen. They need to go to the Bible. A pastor entered a class. It was a Christian school that he had in his church. And as he entered this class, a lesson was in progress, and he stopped the class and he said, who broke down the walls of Jericho? Little boy said, not me, sir. The pastor turned to the teacher and said, is this the usual behavior in your class? The teacher said, sir, I believe this boy's an honest boy, and if he said he didn't do it, he didn't do it. Leaving the room, the pastor sought out a deacon, explained what had happened. The deacon said, I've known both the boy and the teacher for several years, and neither of them would do such a thing. So he finally called a meeting with, he's heart sick with his Christian Education Committee, And they said, we see no point in making an issue out of this thing. Let's just go ahead and pay the bill for the damage and the walls and charge it to the upkeep. By the way, the insurance company might take care of it anyway. And I'm saying all that to say this. That man had problems, you know. That's a funny story, but don't miss the point. The point is that too many people do not know what that book says. Let me tell you how you can find out what it says. Read it. How simple is that? Read the Bible. The word, by the way, that's what the preaching is about too. That's why it's important that a pastor will open the Word of God and read scriptures and then explain those scriptures to you. Why? Because it's not what I think that's going to help you. It's what the Bible says, folks. We need to understand what God is saying. And when God shows us this is what He's saying, then we ought to line up and say, I'm reporting for duty. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Number one, we're looking at the book of Moses, the reading of it, the revelation in it. Number three, let's look at the response to it. Look at verse number three. Now it came to pass when they had heard the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. You know, in verse three, we see when they heard what the Lord's will was through His word, they didn't try to rationalize it. They didn't question it. They didn't call a group meeting to make sure that was the correct interpretation. No. When they heard the word, they obeyed it. You know, in the same way tonight, we all need to learn this simple yet great lesson. That whatever the Lord tells us to do in His word, folks, it's not up for debate. It is not up for a group meeting and get what everybody thinks about it. It is simply given to be obeyed immediately. Someone said, truth revealed does us no good if it's not truth applied. That's a powerful statement. Truth revealed does us no good if it's not truth applied. You know, in today's world, some Christians look at a command like this, come out from among them and be you separate. And they give excuses such as, well, that command was made long ago. That's in the Old Testament and it speaks to a different time. Somebody says, well, things are different now. Well, wait a minute. Let's not go overboard with this thing. Wait a minute. Let's not be a fanatic about it. Are you listening to me? The Word of God is not up for excuses. It's up for obedience. He wants us to obey what He's told us to do. Daniel Webster said this, only if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible will our country go on prospering. And may I say the same thing applies to your life? Only if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible will our life, will our family, will our church go on prospering. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I've given you this illustration before, but I'm going to give it to you again. I'm on blood pressure medication. I inherited this from my mother, her and her side of the family, terrible blood pressure problems. I got some of it. I was going to say it could be some people on the staff, but they just help add to it. You know, I'm just kidding with you. We've got a great staff. God bless them. But I'm on blood pressure medication. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think it encouraged me when I found, now, I mean, my blood pressure wasn't running out of whack. It was just running a little bit high, and so they put me on a pill. Do you think that encouraged me when I heard the diagnosis? No. But was it a good thing that I got diagnosed? Sure it was. That stuff can kill you. I hope you're not sitting there thinking, why'd they have to tell him?
It's a good thing I got diagnosed. It's a good thing that the doctor wrote me a prescription, right? I took it to the pharmacy, had it filled. Good thing I went and got it. Good thing I read the instructions too, that you only take one of those, don't take five. You see what I'm saying? Were you listening to me? If I read all the instructions, but I don't take the pill, it doesn't do me any good. You know, in the same way, we're to read the instructions. The Word of God. This is God's guidebook, if you will. But you understand, you can read the Bible through 100 times. But if you don't apply it to your life, God's not impressed with you. He's saying, do this. And you say, I'm not going to do that, but I'm just going to keep on reading. Why? So I can tell somebody I read 5 chapters today. Who cares? What's it matter if you're not doing what it says? What am I saying? I'm saying this is so simple it's ridiculous. The Word of God is to be responded to in obedience. He wants us to obey His Word. The Bible says in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You ever thought about this? Remember, I believe it was Peter. I can't remember here, but this is what happens when you go by memory. But the Lord was saying something. He said, not so, Lord. That's an impossibility. How can you say no, Lord? Are you following me, what I just said? Do you realize a lot of people go through it saying, no, Lord. Not so, Lord. Listen, if He's your Lord, you can't say no to Him. Amen. And I'm saying He wants His Word to be obeyed. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke 11:28, but He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. And keep it. Now in these opening 3 verses of chapter 13, we see the book of Moses. That's simply just a phrase that means the Word of God. That God used to write, that God used Moses to write, and is put on display for us. And in these verses, we see 3 things about it. It is to be read personally, and then those who are gathered around us, it's to be read to them. It reveals the will of God. If it's in the book, that's God's will. You don't have to pray about it. Amen. Number 3. Is to be obeyed. He wants us to say yes to whatever it is. And I'm asking you tonight, are you reading this book every day of your life? I've had 2 people in the very recent here, I think one on Wednesday night and one today, who came up to me, and they've been reading their Bible every day. It's been such a blessing to them. We've got a lot of people at Buffalo Ridge who read their Bible every day, but I guarantee in a crowd this size, there's some who are not. And if you're not, one of the greatest decisions you can ever make in your Christian life is to read the Bible every day. And then make a decision that whoever's gathered around you, whether it be your family, your Sunday school class, your bus route, whatever it is, whoever God has put around you, that you're going to read it to them too. You're not going to give your thoughts, you're going to give the Bible. And you're going to go to the Word of God to find out what it says about that. Nothing wrong with seeking counsel. Pastor, what do you think? Or Mom, what do you think? Or Daddy, what do you think? Nothing wrong with that. You ought to do that. The Bible even teaches that there's safety in counselors. But the first place you ought to go to is the Word of God. And if the Word of God tells you and answers that question directly, then that's your answer. You need no counsel from there on out. It reveals the Word. It reveals the will of God. And then as you're reading it and God's revealing Himself to you and showing you that's what I want you to do, there's what I want you to do, there's what I want you to do, I don't want you to do that, you need to confess that, you need to get that right, push that out of the way, start that, whatever it reveals to you, say, yes, sir, I'll do that. Why? Because He gave you His Word, not only to read, but to obey. How simple is this? But yet, do you see how it'll change your life if you let it? Read it. Let God reveal to you His will. And do what it says. And God will bless your life. Amen. Yeah. Let's pray together. Shall we? Our Father, help us tonight.
Help us to do business with you and to be obedient to you and to love you and to trust you and to believe you with every area of our life. May you do your will tonight. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared here. As soon as they're ready and preparing, they're going to begin to play through softly. I wonder tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Him and Him alone? Have you been saved by the grace of God? If you haven't, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. How the Lord came to save you. Matter of fact, let me ask, is there anybody here tonight say, Jody, I do not know the Lord as my Savior. I need to be saved. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? You say, I need to be saved. I want to know the Lord. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And I am personally reading the Bible every day. I am reading the Bible every day of my life. Now, I'm not asking if you slip up every now and then or you get sick or you've been knocked out for 24 hours. I'm not saying, but I'm saying, God helping you, you try to read the Bible every day of your life. If you can honestly say that you read His Word every day, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? So I try to do that. Isn't that a wonderful sign? God bless you. Thank you. If you could not raise your hand to that, please don't feel bad about it. But I believe the Lord may want to speak to you tonight. Is there one tonight say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand to that? There were several hands that could not be raised. If you're here tonight and you say, Jody, I can't raise my hand saying I read the Bible every day. But I know this is something the Lord wants me to do. So I'm not reading every day. You may read it 5 days a week. You may read it six. You may read it three. I don't know. But you say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand saying I read it every day, but I know this is what God wants. Would you be an honest person? You could be a teenager. You could be a child. You could be an adult. And you say, this is what I feel God wants me to do. Would you raise your hand right now? Would you do that? Well, that's several hands. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower, but I want you to listen to me closely. If you just raised your hand to that question, I want to encourage you with something. I do not encourage you to come to this altar and say, God, I'm going to start reading 10 chapters a day. Don't do that. Don't do that. I encourage you to start small and gradually build. You know how much I read when I first started reading the Bible as a teenager, I believe it was? I read 2 verses a day. 2 verses, that's it. Now I'm reading a number of chapters, but that didn't happen overnight. It happened over time. I want to invite every one of you, that's several of you, many of you who just raised your hand to that question. I want to invite every one of you in a moment to come to this altar and say, God, I want to help me read the Bible every day. By the way, when you come, it'll encourage others to come. Please don't be ashamed to do that. May the Lord help you. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I need God to reveal His will to me in a certain area. I need God to show me what to do in a certain area. God knows what it is. I'm not going to ask you what it is. None of our business. But you say there's an area in my life that I need to know what the Bible says. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You need to know what the Bible says about it. Amen. The Bible's where you start, but if you need counsel, if you feel comfortable to come and see us and say, this is what I'm dealing with, does the Bible speak about this? We'll help you with that. We have to know that you're struggling with it before we can help you. Why don't you come in just a moment? Have you here tonight and say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I know there's an area in the Bible. I know there's an area where the Word of God speaks that I am not living in obedience. By the way, it could be bitterness in your heart that the Word of God's told you to put away from you. It could be something that He's told you to do that you haven't done, or something He's told you not to do that you are doing. But you say, Jody, there's something in the Bible that I know is there, that I know that I'm disobeying the Lord. I know I am. I'm disobeying Him in that area. Would you be an honest person? Raise your hand right now. Anybody like that? Be honest. God bless you. I'm going to invite you to come. May the Lord help you to get that right tonight. Would you do it? Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, touch it. Bless this invitation. Help people to respond. Some coming saying, I'm going to read the Bible every day. Some coming saying, I need to know what the Bible says about this. And some coming saying, Lord, I've been disobeying you here. Would you forgive me and help me to back up and go in the right direction? respond, please, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. You who need to come and say, I'm going to read the Bible every day. Whatever it is God's speaking to you about as he sings the first word, would you leave your place? Come now as he sings. Come now and say, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to read the word of God every day of my life. Come on. Bible every day. Why don't you come? You say, Jody, I don't feel the Lord really leading me to come. Then why don't you make an altar there at your seat? You don't have to kneel down. Why don't you pray right there at your seat and say, God, help me to start today to read your word every day of my life. May God help you to do it. As Brother Gary sings the next verse, if you need to make that commitment, you can come forward. You can do it right there at your seat, whatever it is, as he sings. Let's do business with the Lord. He sings.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have thine own way. Jody, I didn't come forward, but I've made a commitment in my seat to read the Bible every day. I didn't come forward, but I made that commitment to read the Bible every day. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I made that commitment here in my seat. God bless you. That's several hands. May the Lord help you to keep them. You raise your hand about that. You say, Jody, what happens if I miss a day? Is he going to strike me down with lightning? I doubt it. God's a gracious God. Just double up the next day. Just stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. By the way, if you're still standing, you can look this way. Isn't it a great decision when folks make a commitment to read the Bible? Isn't that great? Had several make that commitment tonight. May the Lord add his blessing to it. And let me remind you of this right before we close. I am never, to my knowledge, I am never going to ask you to do anything that I'm not doing myself. That's poor leadership. That's hypocrisy. How dare a pastor say, you need to do this, and he knows in his own heart he's not doing it. Amen. And I want you to know, as this church and your pastor, God's going to have to knock me out 24 hours before a 24-hour period will go by without me spending some time in the book. He might knock me out for 24 hours. It's not going to happen by the grace of God. The Lord helping me. Amen? And we all need to make that same decision. Isn't this a great crowd, Brother Gary? Wonderful crowd. The Lord is moving at Buffalo Ridge. Want him to keep moving. Amen. I hope you'll be here Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in your place, having a special Thanksgiving service. It'll bless your heart to hear these dear folks testify. That'll be a great thing. And I hope, just in case you can't be here Wednesday night, have a great Thanksgiving. Will you do that? By the way, I haven't had many calls inviting me over for turkey. So if somebody wants to invite me over, you help yourself. Could I have some volunteers? I'm kidding with you, okay? Amen. God bless you. Yes, sir. Can you what now? Depends on what you want to do. Okay? Depends on what you want to do. All right? If it's something that you want to speak for the Lord, that's fine. Okay?
No, it's something I want to present to you.
Oh, something you want to present to me. Is it a turkey? I hope I didn't make you uncomfortable there, okay? If it's something you want to present to me, as long as it's not a gun or something, come on, okay? No, I'm just kidding with you, all right? I'm just playing now, all right? God bless you. This is Mr. Richard Plumador, by the way. He was in the hospital this week. I wanted to pray for him.
Well, we all know that we did salute to the troops this morning.
fantastic. Praise God. But I believe we forgot one soldier. And my wife took the time to put something together to present to him. And even though he wasn't in the military, he is in the military of Jesus Christ. And I believe that this medal here should go to him, because I believe he's an honorable man. And this is, he put together what we call the Medal of Honor. And on behalf of the congregation, and on behalf of the United States military, we'd like to present this Medal of Honor to Pastor Jordan.
Thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you very much, and thank you, Mrs. Plumador. God bless you. We're so thrilled you folks are here. Are you glad they're in our church? Say amen. Amen. Isn't that great? This was planned, by the way. I knew all this all the time. No, I'm just kidding. Thrilling. What a great service. Great service this morning. Thank you so much. I'm honored. God bless you. I appreciate you so much. No doubt about it. Brother Marty Scroggs, sir, if you wouldn't mind, one of our military here, if you would lift your voice and dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.